You are listening to Holy Words from Holy Cross, the sermon podcast of Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. We hope you find these words a blessing in your daily walk with God. Please visit us on the web at www.holycrossnazareth.org or in person at 696 Johnson Road, Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art.
Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your word, which is ever new and ever renewing. Bless us now as we learn better how to be fortified by your Spirit through that word that attests ever to the sufficiency and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Julia, I'm going to control this from up here, okay? Thank you. So, can you click one screen forward for me? Thank you. So, for our Lenten series this year, we've been talking about the necessity of retreat. And I went through, in the initial sermon, the R's of retreat on Transfiguration Sunday. It's to read, to reflect, to respond, to rest, and finally to re-engage. Now, Deacon Michael took us through read last week. So this week, we're going to be focusing on what it is to reflect. And you can always be grateful when I throw the graphics up on the screen here, because what that means is I'm married to my text. And that means I can't rabbit trail all over the place. And my Tuesday Bible study knows I'm really, really good at that. It keeps us succinct. I was looking for a graphic to really communicate this. And I found this one, I think. Come on. Here it is. All right. Oh, come on. Just having trouble keeping up with me. There we go. All right. I love this graphic. She's looking down into a mirror, and in the mirror she sees both herself and the Bible. In fact, what I really like about this is, if you notice, you can't see her eyes if you look directly at her. You can only see her eyes if you look at the reflection. I love that. And this really captures the essence of what this, the nature of reflection that we're aiming for here. Because we are called upon to reflect both on the Scripture and on ourselves. At the beginning of his Institutes of the Christian Religion, John Calvin notes that almost all knowledge consists of knowledge of God and knowledge of ourselves. And that the more we do both, the more we see they're close to each other and one in the same. As we learn more about God, we learn more about ourselves. So we're going to start this morning by talking about how we reflect on Scripture. Now, what we mean by reflecting on Scripture is this. Not simply to go to a Bible study. Because, see, if you're in a Bible study, you can learn the facts about the Scripture. My wife and I are buried in the middle of Leviticus right now. And there's not a lot of contemporary application for the Levitical rules for getting clean. And they fill most of the book. So we're learning about them, and we kind of put that knowledge in a drawer and put it aside, and we can pull it out if we need it. But what reflection on Scripture involves is not learning the meaning of what may seem a little bit difficult scriptures or a little bit obtuse from our point of view, but rather what it means for me now at this time in my life. What's the message God's trying to get through to me? And this will involve more meditation on the Scriptures, paying attention to details that perhaps eluded us before. As in the first service, we talked about that you're doing the one-year Bible right now, or the Bethel series, and you're covering a lot of Scripture really fast in 1 week. You have to get through it. The Moravians, lots of Moravian churches around us, have a tradition of reflecting on one verse per day. So the less time you have to do this meditation, the smaller a bite you want to take, so that you can spend some time really asking what God, what this means for your life. This is going to involve that, like I said, meditation, focused time with God. It's going to involve prayer. It's going to involve prayer because we want to be guided by the Spirit to what the application for our lives is. tell you a funny story about that. Pastor, I heard tell a story about this. He said someone told a young man, God speaks, the whole Bible is God's word, so all you need to do to hear what God's saying to you is just put the Bible on its binding and just let it flop open. Take your finger, close your eyes, point down, and then ask what that scripture means to you. And he did that. He puts his finger down and he reads it and it says, and Judas went and hanged himself. I'm going to try again. Flops it open. Does the same thing. He looks down and says, do thou likewise. That's not how we read the scriptures. That's not how we reflect on the scriptures. We engage them and ask what they mean for our lives, and we do it prayerfully, both with the left side of our brain, with understanding, and the right side of our brain, asking where God is leading. And that just takes time. You may just spend time with God over the scriptures. And it doesn't have to be an hour. It doesn't have to be a day. It doesn't have to be a week. Those kind of retreats are great. But what we need is a rhythm of retreat for our daily lives. I've been doing youth ministry for 30 years. We had a great weekend last weekend, right? I'm going to Delilah. We had a good time. We learned a lot. But those mountaintop experiences, you find out 3 weeks later, your life really hasn't changed all that much from that retreat. You need a habit for your daily life. And that's the kind of retreat we're looking at here. So we reflect on Scripture. The less time you have, pick a smaller Scripture. Keep learning about the whole of Scripture. Keep doing that Bible study. But this reflection on Scripture is what we're looking for here. A great book to start in is Philippians. Now, in addition to reflecting on the Scriptures, we are called upon to reflect on ourselves. I like this. Does he look happy? I don't always look that happy when I look in the mirror. Yeah, we're called upon to reflect upon ourselves. Now, what this does not mean when we are called to reflect upon ourselves, it's not a sort of modern therapeutic thing. This is not to give yourself a hug. It's also not to Stuart Smalley yourself and give yourself inspiration. Remember Stuart Smalley? Remember his litany? I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. This isn't a pep talk. Well, and you don't want to think about the qualities of your life. Am I courageous enough? Am I temperate enough? Is my anger okay? No. Don't go generic. Don't go descriptive. Get granular. Get detailed. See, you don't want to monkey around with the scriptures, and doing the kind of self-affirmation is just monkey around. We can have joy in the Lord, but the spiritual life is too serious to monkey around. We are called upon to look in that rearview mirror just like this monkey is, but do it in a more detailed way. Look at the actual things you've done today or for the last week, or if you've got the luxury of a day or a week's retreat for your lifetime, and reflect upon your life, what you did, not how you felt. Now, most of us don't like the idea of doing this, because when I look in the rearview mirror, if you're anything like me, here's what I'm afraid of seeing. My favorite rearview mirror sequence of all time, much better than Hitchcock's. And that's fair. We often do find that in the rearview mirror. We do often find that there have been times that the one who opposes our God has gotten the better of us, and we wish we'd been in a Tyrannosaurus's mouth instead. And Ignatius of Loyola called these the desolations. The sense in which we were out of step with what God wanted for our lives, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly. But those desolations help us understand ourselves better. But of course, along with the desolations come the consolations. The times when we find ourselves in step with what God wanted for our lives. Of course, now our sense of what God wants is informed by our scripture study. That's why this is a second step. But I'm surprised when I look back sometimes over my day, at the end of the day, and I say, God, where was I really in line with what you wanted me to do? And I'm surprised by sometimes the memory he lifts up from the day that has just been. Sometimes it's in the smallest things where we're most faithful, and sometimes those are the most important. But in any event, there are always desolations and consolations. And we find the same thing when we look in the Scriptures. Lutherans have a distinctive language for this, as do the Reformed. They share the same language with us. We look in the Scripture, and sometimes we see those desolations. We read the Scripture, and we think, oh my gosh, I'm so out of whack with God. And we call that encountering God's law. The law is everything that makes a demand upon us and always makes us know our shortcomings. Our ideals always make us know our shortcomings. If you don't feel any shortcomings, you have no ideals. But God's ideals are the highest of all. So we have a sense of not just conviction that we're out of step with God in our lives, but that we need God's grace. And that's the good news about it, is that it drives us into the arms of God and the consolations of the gospel. It's the promises that God will and does love us, that He is for us and not against us, that He is slow to anger and merciful, abounding in steadfast love, that He will lift us up after all the accusers of our lives have gone away, like He did to the woman in our gospel reading today, and say, "Neither do I condemn you, but go now and sin no more." The law and the gospel are what we find in the book of Scripture, and the desolations and the consolations are what we find in our lives. And as we reflect on our lives and on the Scriptures, and over time, just like in this image, it's hard to tell one from the other. As God's word grows deeper in our hearts, we reflect on His word, we reflect on our lives. The desolations and the consolations are guideposts for us. They're like the white lines on the road, on a darkened road, that keep you on the path. And the good news is always, whether we are being driven into God's arms by the desolations or encouraged by God's promises, that He is indeed for us. His desire is to save us from the terrible consequences of our sin and perfect the character He made us for in the first place, till, like our video said a couple of weeks ago, people look at our character and see nobody but Jesus. Would you join me for prayer? Lord, speaking for no one in this room but myself, I know when I look at my life, whether it's just over the day that has been or over the years that have been, I see primarily my faults. I experience mostly the desolations of what I might have done but did not do, or did and should not have done. And I thank You that drives me into Your arms, drives me to Your promises. Lord, bless us all to remember the good news that You are ever new, and through You we can be ever new. Help us to conquer the sin in our lives, reform our characters that we might be more and more generous, more and more loving, more and more giving, as was our Savior Jesus Christ. We ask it as we reflect together in His holy name. Amen.
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that Thou art. Be Thou my best start in the day and the night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light.